Hey, yo, we was having a ball, and, you know, they asked me to get on the mic, and they asked me, can I kick it? Word. Can I kick it?
Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome back. My name's Chris. I'm your host. I have a special treat for you today. A friend of mine who I've had on the show before, an entrepreneur of 30 years, a specialist and psychologist in trauma, specifically for females, a heavy hitter, a good friend of mine, Allison Lager, and I have decided to put together a little series of us speaking to each other about topics that people really don't talk about, like the intricacies of dating, sex, things about sex, trauma in relationships, masculine energy, feminine energy, and all of the above and anything in between. We come together to help you guys understand healthy relationships fundamentally and how rare they are these days. I hope you enjoy the mini series that we're putting together. I hope you enjoyed this show in particular. And if you guys have any feedback for us, please drop it. If not, sit back and enjoy the show.
This is Allison here from Allison Answers and Christopher. Oh, I thought you were going to say it. This is Christopher Warnes, CW. This is the man, okay? What we are going to do here, and I guess I'm taking over with my masculine energy. We are going to start a series. The series is on relationships. And Christopher and I are going to bring everything that we have. We're going to lay it all out on the table. We're going to be authentic. We're going to talk about our own lives. We're going to talk about all different experiences in relationships and develop a system. That's not true. I'm taking that back. We're not developing a system. We're going to have candid conversation, real deal conversation about male energy, female energy, and how to create a relationship that is not only lasting, but intense and honest and connected and simple. Because I think that we have a tendency as human beings to complicate the shit out of everything and we ruin things like that. We overreact, we take things too personally, we become too easily upset. And we miss the vitality and the intense, the unbelievable stuff that can come from relationships. So what you're going to find here is Chris and I are really super, we're both conversationalists. We are, we talk a lot and we're going to banter and discuss and work through stuff in relationships. So if you guys have topics that you want us to talk about, we're doing it. We'll talk about any freaking topic you want. Do you agree on that?
Nothing's off limits with me. I'm completely transparent in every area of my life. So 100%.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I am, but you know, but that's as honest as I can be. But I will talk about, there's certain things I'm just not going to talk about, but we'll have Chris do that instead. But
they say there's supposed to be like a filter right here.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
You know what I love about that? Say, look, I just walked right over your voice.
No, please. Yeah. Help me. I actually listen more than I speak. So talk. What do you got, Allison? What do you got?
I got a lot. I think I have a lot. And I think that relationships are the number one thing that impacts human beings on this earth. I think that if we can slow down and pause and really, really consider how to have better relationships in our lives, that our lives will soar. And so much of that requires what I would call being having an internal locus of control, being able to be operate from the inside out instead of the outside in. So I think that when, as a person, as we're interacting in a relationship, if we're aware of ourselves and we know what is happening inside of us, then, and we're not reactive to people outside of us, and we don't take things, like get upset over things, I think that we have the power to have incredible relationships. So some of the like topics that I think of that would be unbelievable to talk about is that like family of origin, how where we came from impacts the way we interact with the opposite sex, with partners or whatever. I think it's a very powerful thing to talk about. And most people who are not like in therapy or very self-aware are operating from these unwritten rules from their childhood that are impacting and destroying relationships, and they don't know it. So I really feel dedicated to this podcast in such a way that we can really help people. We can actually help generations of people and their children to not react in their marriage. So that's how I see it. I think that this is will be very valuable to people. What do you think?
I agree. And you're very well spoken, Allison. You know, I think fundamentally what you just said, short and sweet in my regurgitation, is self-awareness and emotional intelligence is completely overlooked, missed, undervalued, and rarely executed these days. And that having the emotional intelligence or the emotional control to not react, especially as a male, to not react to situations in a relationship, whether it's romantic, business, friendship, but the focus on this show is going to be romantic. The duality is this all applies to all relationships in life, right? And the self-awareness of understanding our shortcomings or understanding our strong suits and everything in between. For instance, I'll get vulnerable real quick.
Yeah, right? Do it.
So with my background, right, with military, two tours in combat in Iraq, I have a trigger, right? And it's a deeply rooted trigger that I've been working years on, and I've gotten a lot better with it. It's still, I need to frame this correctly. I've gotten a lot better at it. There's still room for improvement, okay? Because of the men that I fought in Iraq, the style that they mostly tried to kill us was through bombs in the road. And the bombs in the road had a very common thing happen prior to you almost being killed, which was loud buzzing sounds, like the oven going off or the seatbelt sign in the car beeping at you or the smoke detector or buzzing, that tone, if you will, is deeply rooted in me of your life's about to end, you know? So that's a trigger for me that I've been working on, but I know as a male in a relationship that if I am being triggered in that manner, or I have been triggered in that manner, and my partner comes to me with something, I have to be aware enough to be like, hey, listen, sweetheart, I need a few minutes. I'm going to go for a walk. All right. Or I'm going to go for a drive, or I'm going to go take a shower. Or what I like to do is I'm going to go jump in the hot tub and meditate. Just like I need 20 minutes. And understanding our triggers, and don't get me wrong, I've failed at saying that to my partner for over a decade after coming out.
What would you do? What did you used to do?
Respond.
Irritable? Like what?
Very irritable, short fused, no patience, not aggressive, but a disempowered, right? Like a disempowered masculine energy. And it was not ideal. And it took me many years, many years of going down this healing journey and self-improvement journey and growth journey and whatever the hell you want to call it, to understand that it's my choice to stay empowered or become disempowered. It's my
choice. I want to ask you to explain that, because that right there is so powerful for men to hear and women. Could you describe a disempowered male energy? Because that is everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, could you do it's that?
Mm-hmm. Fucking plaguing.
Yes.
Western.
Unreal. Culture. Yep.
Western culture. Mm-hmm. And
some and women I'm are attracted to it, Christopher.
What?
Okay. Go
humbly.
Ahead.
Humbly. Yeah. Humbly. Yeah. I believe the byproduct of the feminine movement is the disempowered male.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming women. I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm saying generationally, a generation after, two generations after civil rights, the feminine yeah. movement, there's yeah. byproducts of it.
Yes, of course.
And I'm a feminist.
I know you
are. First things first, I support women completely. The highest paid people in my organization to date and from the beginning, 14 years ago, have always been women.
Yeah.
Always. I've yeah. never had a male outperform financially a female in my 14-year career as an entrepreneur. Not.
And I feel that from you. I feel
it. Not because I love women more, because they fucking deserve it, because they work for it. Right?
You work for it, man.
Allison, am I allowed to cuss?
Are you fucking kidding me? Go for it. Just don't tell YouTube we're doing it. Don't click the little thing that says that.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me answer the question, right?
Go ahead.
So fundamentally, males, okay, males generally speaking, and when I say these things, I'm saying in like a traditional male-female relationship, okay? Traditional yes. meaning
got it.
Dude and chick, like we're not talking about like chick-chick, like dude-dude, like genders in between. No offense to anybody. I'm just saying we're talking about traditional male, female, masculine, feminine energy.
Yes.
That's the lens.
This is our topic right okay. now. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Males traditionally, okay, should embody masculine energy. There is nothing toxic about masculine energy.
Yes.
The only thing that's toxic about masculine energy is disempowered masculine energy and lack of understanding the depth on the subject saying masculinity is toxic. Whenever I hear someone say masculine energy is toxic or masculinity is toxic, I know they have zero understanding of the topic.
Yep.
And they're just using keywords yes. that they've been programmed on through major and social medias.
True.
To this side, depending on how you're viewing this show, in my office, I have an extensive bookshelf on the subject.
Yes. So yeah.
Amongst other books. And gentlemen, listen, when a female has something to say, you shut
better stop,
fuck up
man.
And listen,
shut the fuck
you
up.
Listen to them. And then you give them positive reinforcement. I hear you. I understand you. I hear you. I get it. And we'll go deeper into that. But men, gentlemen, you need to take that stance with women, no matter where you are in relationships, as friendship, business, romantic. As a masculine male, you are the leader, which means if the female that you're speaking to has something to say, you're the leader, you listen. And then you tell them you hear them. And then, as long as everything's okay, you can move on. In this case, talking about feminine and masculine energy. So in that traditional role, a male has masculine energy, okay? And in that traditional role, female has embodied that feminine energy. Now, it's also important to understand that both males and females will have the opposing energies.
Yes.
Women have yes. masculine energy. men have feminine energy. Mm-hmm. But in the context of what we're talking about, the male needs to be centered in his masculine energy to not be toxic. Mm-hmm. If he is not centered or moved off center, for instance, Allison and I, let's say we were in this relationship of 10 years and she's got something to say. And if I'm a disempowered male or I'm moved off center because she has something to say and I want to continually talk over her and belittle her and make her feel smaller because I'm the male and I'm going to overpower her, that's toxic.
Yes, it is.
As a male, you are centered. Something needs to be said. You shut the fuck up and listen. When, as long as it's healthy, okay? There's, yeah. We're talking about healthy conversations. Yes. We're not talking about threatening the marriage or, you just found out you were cheated on or codependency or projection or gaslighting or manipulation. We're talking about healthy conversations, okay?
Yeah.
So as soon as the male is moved off centered and starts yelling or overpowering the conversation or talking over it, that's toxic. And what most males don't realize is as a masculine male, being centered and being in a healthy energy, you listen. As humans, we have two ears and one mouth, okay? You listen more and you speak less. As a male, to be a masculine male, it's not going around flexing and beating guys up and talking about how much bigger your dick is and how much more money you make. It's being a good man for your partner. It's mm-hmm. always being there for her. It's, or at least the majority of the time, right? Mm-hmm. It's if you get triggered, having the awareness to mm-hmm. be like, I have boundaries. I love you. Give me 20 minutes. Let me go for a walk. I'll be right back. And then we'll jump right back into this. Just mm-hmm. I'm having an episode right now. I got to calm myself down because men have problems too. A lot of us, I was born in the 80s. I was told to shut the fuck up, stop crying and get back onto the sports field, which in hindsight, after all of my education, I've understood that's terrible psychology.
However,
that's how I was raised.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of us men were raised where we don't talk about our feelings, which is lack of understanding of your feelings, mm-hmm. which is lack of emotional intelligence, which is lack of being able to communicate in a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. So fundamentally, what we're getting at here is men being centered and being masculine has nothing to do with yelling and beating your chest like a silverback gorilla and being jacked and not fitting in your shirts and, you know, whatever social media makes you think. What it actually is you just being super awesome for your partner. And there's a huge line between being walked all over and being centered in a masculine male in a relationship. And we're just talking about conversationally given the self-awareness and emotional intelligence subjects that you just brought up and the perception that you asked for when it comes to what is a masculine male, what is a disempowered male. Guys, it's really easy to become disempowered because you don't understand what it is. It's super hard at first to be a masculine male if you're constantly disempowered. And what I find in most relationships that I coach men that are in relationships and they're the feminine. Mm-hmm. They've taken over the feminine role. Mm-hmm. Their partner is completely in their masculine because the male hasn't stepped the fuck up and embodied the masculinity to lead their wife or their partner.
You know, I'll tell you something, Chris, like we've really stepped into some shit here because this is powerful right here. Okay. So I have so much to say that I don't even know where to go first. But the thing is that I think a man who's a real man is so comfortable with their own power. They know their strength. Like, cause I know you, I know that you're a badass. I know that you're strong. I know that you're a man, but you don't need to display it because you know it, because you have it inside of you. And like, I feel like we've been taught, right? We've been taught forever. So like, I think we've been taught, you know, media shows us, even now it shows us like the war against the sexes, that, you know, that it's almost like we've been taught that every relationship that's romantic is adversarial. Male-female relationships are the opposite sexes. No, they're complementary sexes. Even if you look at the body, and you know, not to be graphic, but who gives a shit? I am going to be graphic. Women are meant to receive, okay?
Their body is built to receive, yes, men.
Yes, and we're built to receive, and we're also... and. In our natural selves, we want to be taken care of. We want that, but we have not learned to trust that a male energy would do that in a way that feels tender, because we've learned that male energy somehow is rough or doesn't give a shit. And, you know, I tell women, I tell anyone, it's mostly women, but if you love yourself on the inside and you have like a, like, let's say your foundation is strong on the inside, you don't, as a woman, you can be as soft as mush on the outside. You don't have to set boundaries. If you have boundaries inside, if you know what you'll live with and what you won't live with, and you're good, and you know, you can trust yourself to do that. You don't have to be bossing people around, and guys are going, well, I'm never going to put up with that shit. You don't even have to say it. So, because you still can be loving and kind, you know, even around men who are assholes, because it doesn't matter, because you're not going to take it, you know, because it's all, the strength is inner. So I think that when I think of like a disempowered male, really, I think about that they are just really scared and insecure.
100%.
I deal with like rageaholics so much in this practice. Most of the relational things that we see are men who are raging, like screaming, yelling. They're not rational in their relating. They're overreacting, right? Women too, but maybe in other ways. Like an overreaction can also be completely withdrawing too, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to interrupt you. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you could. Do you want to?
Yeah, like, and let's.
I do. Tell me, guys.
No, I don't. I don't want to interrupt you. I don't. Mm-hmm. No, you're talking about your practice and dealing with raging men, guys. Like, that's not cool. And I'm guilty of it. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2021, I could count on one hand how many times I lost my cool.
What did you do when you lost your cool?
Exactly what I said at the beginning of the call. I need some fucking space.
You raged?
No. Okay. That's a good clarification. No. Right. Just like you said, right. I don't ever talk about my abilities of being a quote unquote badass. Right. Like I don't need to, but understand what I'm about to say. This is why I don't rage. My ears are full of cauliflower. Cauliflower is from jiu-jitsu. I was ranked number one in the world in my age group for my experience in jiu-jitsu.
What is cauliflower?
Cauliflower is the soft tissue being damaged.
Oh, I thought UFC you meant like fighters. You literally have like something with your ears.
Yeah, you see the deformity right there?
Hold on. Let me get close.
Like UFC fighters have like their ears look like this because there's so much cauliflower. But cauliflower is the mark of a savage, of a fighter, right? My ears are full of cauliflower. I have a Purple Heart from combat. I did two tours in combat. I'm a trained fighter in Mortal Kombat, in hand-to-hand combat. If I raged, police aren't going to stop me. It would take 3-4 of them. You know, like, what's that going to do? That's just going to hurt everybody around me and myself.
Yeah, it hurts you.
No. And when I first came home from the war, I would rage because I was trained to rage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the point is, guys, like, if you're starting to lose your fucking cool, you have to have that, you have to develop that ability to understand yourself well enough to put yourself in check, because you will scare a female like this.
Yep.
As soon as you scare a female, their trust in you diminishes.
Forever.
Diminishes. So if you can check yourself before you start raging, and you might lose the trust just from losing your temper. Last year, I started getting that red hot feeling 3 times.
Yeah.
I counted on one hand. And every single time I pulled myself out of the situation, I sat down, I meditated, and then I reflected on it. Okay. I'm clearly triggered. What could I have done better? Because every mistake is a lesson. And learning those lessons is critical. And gentlemen, if you're yelling at your partner, or you raise your hand to your partner, you have to search internally, because that's fucking unacceptable on every level. And ladies, listen, if you're yelling at your partner, that's fucking unacceptable.
Yep.
When people yell, no one's listening.
Yep.
Yes, we all raise our voice. And there are periods of time where we will yell, but understanding that if you do it, what you need to be doing is learning how to not do it. Male, female, both. Because you're not getting anywhere. You're just making the relationship worse. I'm not saying yelling is never going to happen. It happens. However, learn from it. Learn how to not do it. Because gentlemen, specifically, you raise your hand to a female, you got serious problems. And there's men like me that are on this earth that if we ever saw that, you probably won't be able to use your hands again.
See, there you go. I have so much to say again. So basically this idea, you know, so there's so many different directions to go with this, but the concept of, first of all, if a man rages once, I identify two different kinds of yelling. Like, there's yelling where, and I don't think that anyone ever needs to yell, because I think that when people are yelling, there's no adult in the room. I think it's an emotional part of them. Yeah, no one's listening. And the emotional part of us that's screaming is usually a much, as more of a frightened, under emotionally developed part of us, because, and we also haven't found a way to communicate with the other person in such a way that we can share what we actually are feeling clearly, because we're not self-aware enough to then be able to reach that person or not, but knowing what's happening inside will also stop it. But the other thing is that the internal, when somebody rages, the way that I operationally define it, and I think this is what's going to happen on this podcast in general, is that I always tell everybody semantics is everything. So we can say something about rage, and Chris has a definition, I have a definition, someone else has a definition. You know how many men have sat on my couch and have said, I don't rage? And so I specifically will say, well, you know, let me hear, what do you do? Are you, the real thing is that, are you rational? Can the person that is with you in that moment reach you? Can you have a conversation in that moment? It's like when you're working out, can you breathe? It's like, can you have a rational conversation in this moment? And if you can't, right, you're irrational and raging. And what I want to just say to women out there and men, I am positive of this. You want to not have sex with a woman, rage at her once. Mm-hmm. You will have a robot after that. Just letting you know.
She's turned off.
Yes. And over to the other thing is that when you rage at a woman, or I don't know, and children too, even if it's, you know, very often people who rage, it's episodic. So it's like once every, you know, it could be once a year. It could be once every 3 months, but they're like, oh, but most of the time he's really great. He's always nice. But when he does that, but once it happens, you never know when it's going to happen again. So then the joyful moments, they cannot be trusted again. So it's a very, it's a very damaging thing. So I tell women that they are as responsible, not in a domestic violence situation, that's a disclaimer, but women are just as responsible for that happening to them. And I'm talking about, I want to make sure this is not women who are being victimized and beaten and all of that. I'm talking about in a pretty, not healthy, but in a normal relationship where that's not happening. To me, I tell women all the time, we have to make a decision about what kind of relationship we want and then marry that decision, not the person. Marry the decision about what you'll live with and what you won't, but not in like a defensive way. Just if you know, I know that I will never be yelled at. So no matter what another person does, they have zero control. They can't yell at me. And if you think, and I tell women, if you make that decision, so then how would you stay committed to that particular decision? You don't have to scold them. You just, if you have to remove yourself or whatever you have to do, just, you're not going to be yelled at. It's a game changer. It changes women's lives if they get to that point. It's very hard to get there though. I have another thing to say and I'll stop. You're dying, aren't you? Dying to say something. One more thing.
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
I was going to compliment your story. That's all.
Or you're just going to go like this. Okay.
You love my face.
I do. That's when you have something to say. We should make that our thing. When I have something to say. I can't I got to say it.
You're spitting gold right now. So don't let me derail you.
All right. So here's the other thing. What was I going to? Oh, and another thing. All right. So basically the women have a very hard time, and men, I think you can chime in on this, getting out of relationships, because one of the things I talk about is that there's very often there's, because human beings are multifaceted. So as a human being, you know, so you can be with a man who rages, right? But then he's lovely and he's wonderful and he's kind and he's nurturing and all these other ways, but then he just goes off the handle, you know? And basically like what Chris is saying about like, you know, getting a trigger. But what happens in that situation is that then you have two boyfriends or two husbands or two whatever. And so then when the lovely person is there, you want to be with them. But then when the other person shows up, you want to break up with them. But then you're breaking up with this one. And then the nice guy comes in and then you change your mind. And I always tell women, you have one person and people are multidimensional. And if they're not aware, you know, if somebody's raging and then they're blaming you, I ask women to ask themselves, is there anything that you could do in this relationship that would require a man to rage at you? And you really want to ask yourself that question. Because to me, even if you're wrong, you know, you can be wrong. You can make mistakes. You can be inconsiderate. You can be selfish. You can be a brat. You can be snotty to the guy. But does that justify what?
You can be disempowered.
Yes.
Disempowered feminine.
Yes. But then he justifies it and then you feel guilty. Yeah. You know, that right there is, you know, it's like bonded together in brokenness. So that's what we want to break, Chris and I, like these kind of these connected in brokenness relationships. I mean, that's what I want to break anyhow. Like, we don't have to do that. And you know what? This is my last thing, and then I'm going to let Chris talk. So basically, the other thing is that, like, men, it is not, you're not loving a man by adjusting to his dysfunction. You are hurting them by standing, not in, you don't even have to be firm. You don't have to say, I'm not putting up with this. You just have to be entirely you and not allow yourself to be in bad situations. And basically anything that they do becomes illuminated because you're not interacting with it. You're separate from it. So I'm going on too long, but anyhow, so Chris, tell us what you think.
I'll tell you guys, ladies, listen up to this one. All right. I'm gonna put on display exactly what you just said, but from the male's perspective of being raged at.
Okay.
Because I think that it's our choice what we do, right? Fundamentally, there's only a few things in life we can control: our thoughts and our choices. If a male is gonna rage, it's his choice. Lack of understanding himself. It's not the female's fault. However, are there things that could be done better by the female to not help your partner or not let your partner get to that point? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not their responsibility. It's the male's responsibility. So let's talk about a recent, when I say recent, I mean, what is it, May? The last person I dated was in like January, right? January, February type things. And
I think I met her.
No, that was last year. You met her. Yeah. She was cool. She was definitely cool.
So cool.
And that's not at all who we're talking about. Okay, so good. the next person, I was like, all right, like I'll try the online stuff. Like I'll try Bumble. I get matched with, you know, these girls are swiping on me and whatnot. I don't have time to like swipe, but I'll open it up and, you know, whatever, match with who I think is cool. However, understand that was a brief period of time. I don't have online apps. I'm not dating anyone. I'm single. I'm not like, I don't look. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And that's a whole nother story. I'm purpose driven, which we could have a whole show on. But
yeah,
the point that I'm getting at is I matched with this girl and beautiful exteriorly. I mean, just beautifully built, beautiful features, not filtered, you know, with pictures, just a beautiful, like a 10 of 10 exterior. And her culture is pretty similar to mine, not the same nationality, but similar. And early on, and it's tough for me to date people because I know so much about psychology, you know? So I'm always like, oh shit, that's codependency. Oh shit, that's projection. Yes. Oh fuck. So anyways,
it's hard.
We were talking.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
We were talking about intimate things. We were talking about what she liked. And I was like, all right, yeah, cool. Like she knows what she likes. She was in her early 30s or mid 30s or something like that. And I'm listening to her and I'm like taking mental notes. I'm like, all right, remember this, you know? Because it's important to make sure your partner is pleased physically in the bedroom, you know, like we're talking about amongst other areas of the relationship. But I'm listening, and she wasn't asking me what I liked. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I just started talking a little bit about it, and it was dismissive. It was change the subject back to her. And it was dismissive, and it was change the subject back to her. And then it was dismissive again and change it back to her. I was like, hey, I hear you. Like, I got it. I hear what you love and what you don't love. Can I tell you what I like? And immediately dismissive, turned around, redirection. Yeah. Dismissive and redirection back to her. So after the fourth time, I was like, hey, listen, I can you hear me? Right? Like, this is really important for you to understand what you're doing right now.
You told her?
And she got mad.
She did?
She got mad. She got started losing her cool.
How?
And I was like, whoa, it's good. We know about, we'll just talk about it some other time. All right, talk about it.
You mean like mad, like yelling mad?
Pretty close. Really? So it was at the end of a date. So I pulled up to her house and I dropped her off.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're not coming. She's like, you're not coming in. And I was like, no, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Cause she was triggered.
Yeah.
She was triggered. I don't know her past. She was clearly triggered.
Yes.
I'm not going to continue to be in that energy because she doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
Right. So I drop her off. She calls me on the way out. She's like, I'm really upset. And I'm like, I know, it's cool. Like, she's like, please turn around. And I was like, I'm not going to come over today. Why don't we talk to each other later tonight or tomorrow? Right. Guys, you have to stay in control, right? Control of your center is what I'm talking about.
What did you feel? What did you feel in that moment?
What do you mean?
Like when you, like, were you upset? Like, what did you feel? Cause she,
I understand psychology, right? So I wasn't like mad at her. I was just like, oh, she's selfish.
It felt like a turn off.
Completely turned off.
Yeah.
Completely turned off.
So let me ask you a question. So now suppose, since I don't know the rest of the story, suppose you were to say, you know, whatever your name is, hey, what is it that, like, I guess you did, because you said, I feel like you're not hearing me or whatever.
The next day we got it.
You did do that. Okay. I'll be quiet. I'll let you tell the story.
So she texts me all night. I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, cool, I'll call you tomorrow. You know, I'll call you when I'm done with work. She's like, can you call me in the morning? I was like, I'll call you when I'm done with work. Right. It's only been a couple of weeks. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't text all day. Like,
yeah,
I'm done with my day. I'll call you or text you.
Yeah.
My purpose, my team, my vision as a male, if you are not purposeful or understand that purpose comes first,
yeah,
you mm-hmm. come first, then your relationships, mm-hmm. not your relationship first. That's codependency. But anyways, so the next day, and I was like, yo, it's cool. Don't worry about it. What was it? And she's like, you know, I had some trauma. I had been abused sexually. And I was like, fuck, if I had a fucking dollar for every time I've heard this, like, it just, there's nothing I could do, but it's just like, it's too common.
Yeah, it is very common.
And I was like, I hear you. I got it. You know, we talked through it. And she's like, you want to come over? And I was like, I can't come over tonight, but you know, this is when I'm free. So she had already lost her cool with me, right?
Yeah.
And this is complementing what you're talking about guys losing their cool.
Like, yeah.
It goes the other way too. So probably like 2-3 weeks later, which is a pattern, right? Every 2-3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Just like you're saying, like, guy loses his cool like once a year or once a month or once a week or once a day. Completely different situation. We're it's the first time we're hanging out with my friends. We're playing Monopoly. I'm smoking everybody in Monopoly. Right? I got fucking hotels on Park Place and Boardwalk. And
of
shit.
Course you do.
Yeah, of course.
All right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was handsy with me. She was touching me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I touched her back. Bang, she went right back into it. And I was like,
into what? Oh, what do you mean?
That trigger, that like I triggered her by touching her. Even though she was touching me, I touched her publicly in front of my friends. Like they
she didn't like it?
Not that she didn't like it. She went into that state.
Yeah.
That rage.
Wow.
And she's like, take me home right now. And I was like, first things first, I'm sorry. Like, I apologize. I didn't mean to upset you. I wasn't thinking about your trauma, your past. It was reckless of me to do that. You were doing it. I did it too. I am sorry. And she started screaming at me in the car. I had known her like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, ladies, okay? Guys like me, a high value, high performing, high earning male, we're not gonna take it. Because we understand well enough that a zebra never loses their stripes. I write about this in my book, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And this time, she was so upset. I had to help her into the house.
Oh my God. Of course,
she tried to turn it into a sexual thing there. And I was like, I'm not into it. I was turned off, right?
Of course.
And she's like, you know, she got nasty verbally, very nasty. And she grabbed me by the arm and she's like, are you leaving? And I was like, yeah, we'll talk tomorrow. She's like, she loses it again. So I let her yell it out and I looked her in the face and I said, I hope you never get treated like this. And then I left. You start arguing back as a male, you're done. You're cooked. You're off center. But the point is, women, all right, you also can't rage. You also shouldn't be yelling at your partner. You should not be screaming at your partner. You should not be yelling at your partner. Okay. You should not be raging at your partner. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you need to look internally immediately because that is toxic. And just because a male is bigger and stronger and masculine and more able to physically do something doesn't mean that it's any less for a female to do it. It's toxic behavior fundamentally, male, female. However, regardless of gender and energies, the best thing you could do, in my opinion, if your partner is like triggered and raging, as long as it's not violent, understand that it's a projection of their feelings and it has very little to do with you, and let them feel heard. Mm-hmm. Let them feel heard. I hear you. I understand you. I hold space for your feelings. I get your perspective. Let's cool down. Let's talk about it later.
You know, I'll tell you, that's that right there, you know, is such a raw story. And I think I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot from men who are dating. They run into a lot of very broken, hurt women. And I think, you know, both ways, but I think that it can become very, very dramatic. And I think that sometimes women feel like it's okay to do that with a man, like in the way that you're describing, because they're bigger and there's like this freedom to be irrational, you know, and probably wanting, you know, in that situation, wanting a male who is like strong and will help you not be irrational, you know, which ultimately, you know, like a little girl who's hurt, you know, wanting almost like a father to make it all okay, you know. But I think that what you're saying, I mean, it's really intense when you think about relationships and think about the situation that you're in. You meet this really fantastic, physically fantastic person. She also sounds like she was really showed a lot of nice qualities too, like, you know, that she was like, you know, apologizing and wanted to talk. And, you know, you can hear that. And I think that's why it gets confusing, you know, because you were with her, what you said, like 5 weeks. And I think you were given such a gift. It was a gift that she showed that early on, because because suppose you really fell in love and then you had to, you know, that happens to people. And then the monster comes out, you know, their history. But I think that what we have to know just for all of us is that whatever, I think so much of the key is that if we know ourselves. So like, I always tell people that I'm responsible for the 3 feet around me. Like, think of a hula hoop, you know, what's inside that, there's too much to deal with. If you're trying to deal with everybody else's emotions outside of you, you know, I'm responsible for how I think, how I, you know, how I manage my emotions, the way that I treat other people. No one made me do anything. You know, they may have given you an opportunity to feel something. They may have done something you didn't like, but it's like they didn't cause it. And even if that's just like our main like concept here today about a relationship, that I own my shit, you own your shit. It doesn't matter. Even if the person out here is horrible, like really literally horrible, we're still responsible for the way we act. Like, we don't, I think that we are not taught that. You know how many times people will sit, like men and women will sit like on a couch, or they could just be alone. And I'll be like, so what made you feel that or whatever? And they would be like, well, because she, I'm like, no, what happened internally? You know, no one did that. Yeah. Everybody outside, the event, the circumstance. Yes.
Oh, it's my fault.
It's always your fault, Christopher. Every damn time. No, I'm kidding.
I know someone who wrote about that.
Mm-hmm. Was it you?
Sounds like the first chapter of my book.
I should be referring to my book. Yes.
You should be. Yes.
I don't. I never do. It's my fault that I don't refer to it.
It's our fault fundamentally for 99%. 99%
of what happens
in your day-to-day, in your life. That 1%, I write about it, the 99-to-1 rule is what I call it. 99% of what you do, what happens to you, is your responsibility. That 1% is like COVID or the earthquake or a fucking landslide, okay? Or you got hit at a red light while you were parked waiting to go, or something along those lines.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Being raped, being molested, things that you couldn't necessarily help. That's the 1%. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it is everybody's responsibility to take ownership of their life, let alone their actions.
Yes. So like even, in that situation, you could, many, many people might have justified, you having a reaction to that. But you didn't. You held your own. You were you.
Just cut it off.
Yeah. But I think also, and this is just like a side note, I feel like women, you could tell me if you think men do this too, but women, I know we think in symbols. So we experience events or different things. So like, if someone does something or whatever, like just, we all attach meaning to things, but I think women will like, we always do this thing here when we do an interview for a therapist. We always say to them, we do this role play because we want to see what kind of therapist they are, what kind of questions they ask. So we'll talk about a woman who's complaining and bitching about a man who leaves his plate on the table all the time. And we want the therapist who we're interviewing to get to the heart of it. Like, what is it about the plate? Because you can always fix the environmental things, but what is it about the plate? Very often it's a symbolic that he doesn't care about me. Well, does he care about you? Oh, no, he does care about me. But this symbol, how could he care about me? If this plate is here, how could he? He knows, all of that. So it's like, so we'll attach this like self, this identity to ourselves about a behavior, which really has nothing to do with us, right? So, yeah. And so we'll say, what did you say?
I just said, we're just inferring it. It has actually very little to do about us.
I don't think anything really. I think everything has, I think we're all in our own movie. we're just like, you're right.
One of the most freeing things that I ever learned and that I teach is the world doesn't revolve around us. We revolve with the world. It doesn't matter. Nothing is for you. Once we adopt the selfless nature to the degree that it can be, and I'm not completely there, I'm like 95% selfless, and I catch the selfish things, but they're high-level selfish things like leadership stuff, right? But anyways, that's not the point. Leadership is a language that I do speak. But where I was going with this is, it has nothing to do with us. Nothing. Like, very little has to do with us, right? And when we realize that we revolve with the world and the world doesn't revolve around us, just because you're late doesn't mean that you're going to get all green lights and you're not going to hit traffic. You're late because you're poor at planning most of the time.
Is that a side note to, like, this is about me, Christopher, because I was late to that meetup.
And you were you an hour and a half late?
An hour and a half. I made it all about me. This is the example of, yeah, I actually, that's what I heard, that he was talking to me. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But anyhow,
no, actually, like, I mean, just in general, you know, another really freeing thing that I learned is every minute that passes, you're a minute closer to death. So the sense of urgency and the realizing that the world has nothing to do with you, you've very little impact on this earth, most people. And when you're selfless enough to realize that, your whole outlook on humanity changes. And when people start raging, in this case, you don't hold it against them. You actually feel bad for them.
Yes.
And the interesting part about it is I cut that person off immediately. Well, not immediately. I mean, I talked her through it. I gave her the 2-day talk through, but it wasn't landing, you know? So I ended it, which turned into me having to block her.
Oh.
And she found her way through, found me on LinkedIn. It was the only place I didn't block her on.
Wow.
And it was my fault. It was all my fault. But the point, I mean, I get it. Like, I understand that perception. The point is, you just feel bad because I've had trauma that I didn't heal, and I've been in that mindset, and I understand it. And I don't hold anything towards her or other people that I've come in contact with in my life that have done that. I actually feel bad for them because they haven't taken the time to go and heal themselves. And fundamentally, in hindsight, I thought back about the situation, and she told me about her environment growing up. And in her household, her parents would yell and scream at each other.
Yes.
And the kids often, mm-hmm. sometimes daily. And then after some time went by, everything was back to normal.
Yeah.
That's unhealthy.
Yeah.
That's very unhealthy. And we're a product of our environment. So I don't hold it against anyone. That's just who the person is. That's cool. That's just not for me.
You know what I think, though, that's really cool about this? And this is like our, it's like what we were saying before, that family of origin stuff, like the way that we are programmed, impacts, you know, all of our interactions. But what I think, possibly, maybe not, you may be a part of her healing. Yep. So, and I love that about relationships. I think relationships are really designed or created. And I mean, I don't even know what that means exactly, but they have the opportunity to bring us higher and higher, because we can be by ourselves and be so together and so healthy alone. You introduce another human being with their own, you know, childhood, their own perspectives, their own faults or whatever. And then they, you know, iron sharpens iron, social man sharpen man. It's like we bump up to one another. And I think that really, if you work through, like, wow, like, for example, with that woman, wow, when that guy touched me like that, that triggered all of this stuff. Let me work through this stuff. I cannot believe that I wanted to scream at him. It wasn't him that I'm mad at. You know, let me pivot over to what I'm really mad at, and let me utilize this relationship in such a way so I can become higher and better. Because relationships, I really think, are designed to do that, and they can. And I think that both of us have learned through making mistakes. I know I have. So and oh my God, I'm not going to even talk about it. We're going to hang up. So what we're going to do, guys, we want to have a community. We want to have something that is going to like add value to the relationship world. Okay.
So be a safe space for everybody.
Yes. So please, if you guys would comment Nothing mean because I erase them. I don't like haters, but anyhow, so I'm not that evolved, but anyhow, so comment if you have any topic you want us to address, we will address it. Anything in relationships, right? And we're going to make this a thing, right? Different topics. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, go. You have a busy day. I have a busy 100%. Day that I'll be late to all day.
I think you did a fantastic job today, Allison, and I look forward to the next time that we speak.
Yes, me too, Christopher. Signing off. I wish I had like a good tagline for relationships. I can't think of any. Damn, I'm usually good at that. All right, you got one? Like a relationship? Like,
yeah, the best thing I could say about having a good relationship is just listen and be selfless. That's it. Just listen to your partner.
Yeah.
Be selfless. And everything else will fall into place.
Be willing to be wrong. Yeah, very important.
Absolutely. 100%.
If you're willing to be wrong and you're good with being wrong, that is harmony. Like, be grateful when someone says something that you did or didn't do that they didn't like. Be grateful that they were honest enough and don't get all guilty about it. That is a game changer in a relationship. Yeah. 100%. I love you, Christopher. Bye.
Love you too.
That's what I got for you today, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you're looking forward to the mini series. If you guys got any feedback, let us know. If not, I'll catch you next time.
Yes, can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Well, I'm born.
Born, then.
Can I kick it to my tribe that flows in layers? Right now, Fife is a poem sayer. At times, I'm a studio conveyor. Mr. Dinkins, would you please?